It's time for our weekly catch-up with ACT Party Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden.
Now it's time for our regular catch-up with one of our most important minor parties about the political hot potatoes of today and tomorrow. The ACT Party are renewing calls to reduce a mandated isolation period for those who test positive for COVID-19. Previously, they've called for a reduction down to 72 hours of isolation, in line with Singapore's requirements, but their latest push has been to match Australia's recent scrapping of the mandated isolation period altogether. For his weekly catch-up with the ACT Party, Casper questioned David Seymour about his stance on isolation periods, as well as a recently announced Ukraine aid fundraising event that the party will be hosting in a couple weeks' time. He began by asking why the ACT Party believes it's still necessary to lower our isolation period.
I think I'd first just pose a question back. How many people are still taking it seriously? It doesn't pay to have what are effectively zombie laws. Very few people are still observing, very few people testing, very few people isolating. It would make more sense to have practical laws that people will follow. Going back to 72 isolation and out with a negative test would have been sensible when we proposed it in February. That's what the Singaporeans were doing then. But I think we're now at a point where COVID has passed. People should be managing it like any other illness. Instead, we just have a law on the book that I'd say most people probably aren't following. And if people are, it's out of proportion to the real pressure we face. If people doubt that, I just ask them, what do they think the objectives of COVID are right now? Is it to reduce pressure on the hospital? Is it to reduce the number of cases? Is it to reduce the number of COVID-related deaths? I don't think that anyone has a clear objective, and therefore you don't have a justification for restrictions.
You say COVID has already passed. We are still seeing close to 10,000 cases a week. So what benefits would come out of reducing this isolation period that would justify any risk of potential further spread?
Well, it's interesting you say that. I mean, we were seeing 10,000 cases a day, now 10,000 a week. What that tells me is that when we have seven times less cases, some people will still want to put restrictions in place. So when we have seven times fewer cases again, when perhaps there's only 1,400 a week, I guess you could turn around and say, well, you know, we've still got 1,400 cases a week. How could you possibly want to remove restrictions? Again, my counter to that is that at some point we have to move on and start looking at the many other aspects that are of human well-being that have been affected by COVID. We've been far too slow to move on. For example, I've just been right now in Christchurch at an international flight school. They have lost their business because they haven't been able to get students in for the last 2 years. They're basically rebuilding from scratch. Another flight school in Hamilton contributes $100 million a year, or did contribute $100 million a year to the Hamilton economy. Gone. That's jobs, and it's opportunity, and it's our wider economy, because farmers need people that can fly helicopters and planes for various purposes. The supply of those people is drying up. Now, I just give you that as a lot of people say, so what, it's just pilots and flight schools and all the rest. But actually, that's happening throughout the economy, that our ongoing and overly prolonged focus on COVID has had costs that we haven't really begun to fully appreciate.
To what extent do you believe that it's necessary to look to international examples? You mentioned Singapore, but also Australia is lowering their period further. Is it important to look to these examples to compare New Zealand's response, especially in terms of competitive immigration?
Well, New Zealand has to decide, are we part of the world? Are we a modern, competitive, globalised country? Or are we turning a bit inwards and looking at New Zealand as being the standard for the world? Because if we take that second approach, then what will happen is that people who do want to do globally competitive cutting-edge stuff will go and do it, just not here. What's left of New Zealand, we will become a nice island nation like Greece or Cuba or Jamaica or Fiji. Nice place to visit, but not really a place that is on the edge in terms of leading the world. So yep, when the rest of the world moves and makes it easier to migrate, easier to do business, easier to travel, easier to holiday, easier to be an international student, if New Zealand is still putting up barriers, then we'll just be left behind this cringy conceit that somehow the rest of the world is looking to New Zealand. I'm very proud Kiwi, but I'm also realistic enough to know that's not true.
Moving on to this topic of New Zealand being a part of the international community, I understand that the ACT Party will be holding a fundraiser for Ukraine in a couple of weeks. Can you speak to how people will be able to participate in this and what the money will go to?
Yeah, that's right. Well, first of all, it's the second time we've done this. So back in May, I hosted a fundraiser. We raised $38,000 for Zelensky's fund. It's going to be a dinner at the La Vista restaurant run by Natalia Shepkova, a friend of mine that I helped with immigration years ago when she had some trouble even coming here. It's another example of how we're hostile to outsiders and we shouldn't. Anyway, Natalia is now hosting a second fundraiser with me. People are going to be able to come along. It's not cheap. It's $500 a plate. Premium tickets are $750, and you get a luggage tag made from downed Russian fighter jet. So a very special souvenir. Our aim this time is to raise $50,000, and that's why we've made the prices high, because we really need to raise a lot of cash for these guys. But people will hear from Owen Pomana. He's a Kiwi ex-soldier who's been on the ground in Ukraine, helping ferry vulnerable people out of the conflict zone, getting food and clothing in there. So some of the money will go to support his efforts. Some of the money will go to Buy for a Ukrainian, which is an initiative of two friends of mine in Europe, one of whom is Maria Semyakos, who sadly lost her father at the beginning of the conflict. She's obviously very motivated to help her home country. And they are buying for a Ukrainian. What that means is they're buying warm clothes for the soldiers as they go into winter. And we'll also have an auction where you can bid to, quote-unquote, buy weapons and other types of aid to help people in Ukraine repel the Russian invasion. So that's what we're aiming to do. The money will go to those three purposes. And our goal is $50,000 on the night, October 17. If you are in a position to buy a ticket, please do so. If you were thinking you'd help Ukraine and you can afford to do it, this is the way to do it, because it's going to be a very interesting and informative night as well. I just think, those of us who live in a small democratic country, occasionally we need to stand up for our values and do so in a tangible way.
You mentioned that you'll be selling off parts of a downed Russian fighter jet. Was this a jet that you downed yourself, David?
No, I certainly haven't been shooting down any Russian fighter jets. I've been trying to shoot down policies of the Labor government that we see as divisive and wasteful here in New Zealand. It's actually an initiative called Recycle Russia. So it's a lot of social entrepreneurship that's come out of this conflict. And obviously there's not many silver linings to it, but some of these initiatives I really like. So there's a group of Ukrainian people in connection with my friend Maria Semyakos, who is behind Buy for a Ukrainian, and Recycle Russia is taking some of these downed Russian fighter jets. They're actually using the scrap material, turning it into luggage tags, and if you want a nice way of supporting the Ukrainians, buy one of these luggage tags, and they might use the money to help shoot down some more Russian planes that are, unfortunately, dropping bombs and killing innocent people.
That was Casper speaking to David Seymour in his weekly chat with the ACT Party.
That was Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden from the ACT Party.